Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to meet a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our welcome and our calling. Amen. Well, if I'm being honest, I had a plan for this week's sermon. And if I'm being very honest, it was a good plan. It was going to be a good sermon. See, with all the themes from today's readings, especially in Proverbs and Hebrews, there's this talk about being humbled in the presence of nobility and not assuming a place of honor unless it's given to you first and you're invited into it, lest you risk being put in a lower place and being humiliated in front of the people. I had this whole routine planned for the sermon that I was going to sort of perform. I had planned to write a message full of gratitude for the opportunity to serve here at Wicker Park Lutheran Church this sabbatical summer, to talk about what an honor it has been to step into this pastoral leadership role and accompany you all through this journey while also being accompanied by you. And the kicker, the climax of the sermon, if you will, was going to be me relinquishing this position of honor back to Pastor Jason, who you will notice is strangely absent from the front of this worship space. So here I am, once again, completely unsupervised, doing my own thing and having a great time with it. And while I do not fault or resent Pastor Jason for making the medically informed, safe decision of remaining home and distanced while recovering from a bout with COVID, I do slightly resent the situation that does not allow me to preach that very good sermon. But oddly enough, this did get me to thinking. Specifically, what triggered this thought process was the phrase from our reading from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Now, I'm not trying to say I am an angel. far be it for me to say that, but 3 months ago I was a stranger. And although I have stepped into this pastoral and preaching role as a leader, I have also been in this space as a guest for the time being. The hospitality that you have all shown me as a guest has made an impact upon my life deeper than I can succinctly put words to, but that's not going to stop me from trying. You may know this about me, but I have only been a resident in the Chicago area for around 5 months, not even a half a year. Before I was here, I was serving as the solo pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church on the Rocky Boy Reservation of rural central Montana, and had been there for a year and a half. It was my very first call out of seminary, and a position that I had been working towards for just around 13 years of my life, ever since I first discerned a call to ministry back when I was but a wee lad in high school. But without getting too deep into the weeds of the details of my personal life, that call in Montana was not a healthy and sustainable situation for me, and I was going through a mental health crisis. For all the ways that seminary prepares you for ministry, it does not prepare you for the ways that you will question your self-worth and entire identity when your first call to ministry ends up falling through and not being sustainable. And that was the context that I moved to Chicago in, fresh out of a call in which I loved the people dearly, but could not continue serving. Unable to find a congregation to serve in Chicago with the given time frame I was working with, and going into an unexpected career shift into healthcare chaplaincy. So to enter this congregation as a pastoral presence, as a leader, even if only for a short while, in a new city, in a new synod, and an entirely new chapter of my own life, it felt significant and, to be honest, a little bit daunting. But the ways in which you all, as a congregation, as a community of believers, welcomed me in and allowed me the opportunity to show up as a leader in this sabbatical summer has been nothing short of the presence of Christ to me. You have shown me grace, hospitality, and welcome, and your presence has been a firm reminder that indeed I am called to this life of ministry, however it ends up taking shape these days. What started out as a means for me to connect to the Metro Chicago Synod and fill in for a new colleague who needed someone to fill in for a sabbatical summer has now become a poignant and timely reminder of the ways that the Holy Spirit is guiding me through this life. And for that, Wicker Park Lutheran, I say thank you so much. As I ruminated and reflected on this hospitality that you have shown this stranger, I could not help but see the connective threads to what Jesus taught in Luke's gospel in the chapters that we read today. Because while what he preaches is hospitality, so often as what happens with Jesus and his teachings, it ends up looking different than how we might imagine it or envision it normally. Hospitality in the modern understanding is usually linked to being how we entertain guests, the things that we do, the way we welcome folks into our own space, and whether or not the lace doilies are set the proper distance apart upon the tables, right? In fact, the Oxford definition describes hospitality as the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. But what Jesus describes in his teachings today goes a bit beyond that. And it's important to note that his audience were the top brass of society. Jesus is in the house of a leader of the Pharisees for a Sabbath meal. He's among the religious elite. So to dine with the leaders of the Pharisees for a Sabbath celebration is essentially to show up at a networking event of a Fortune 500 company today. It's a similar vibe. People were showing up to sort of cement their status, and it's more about being seen and being seen with those people than anything else. So, of course, it does not take long for Jesus to start unraveling the very fabric of that event. He notices the guests seating themselves according to honor, status, and privilege, and tells them instead to go and sit at the lowest place. Get off your high horse, Pharisee leaders, and only move up when you've been invited by the guests or the host to a more honorable position. But beyond that, Jesus gives the instruction for when others decide to host their own meals, their own luncheons, dinners, and events. He tells them not to invite their friends and relatives or even their rich neighbors in the hopes of earning social capital for themselves and eventually being invited to their events, and it becomes this sort of cycle and loop of rich folk entertaining rich folk. Instead, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Jesus tells the elite and the aspiring elite to completely do away with the systems that gave them their privilege and status in the first place, and instead to use that privilege and status so that those who society pushes to the margins might know that they too have a place at the table. This is hospitality according to Christ, to reach beyond the bounds of how things are and are expected to be done, and to do it in a radically different way. The act of including those who society might call the least of these is beyond simple charity. It's not a one-time gift or function, but instead a complete restructuring of how we organize ourselves in society. To live our lives with the same hospitality that Christ preached means to extend our focus and gaze beyond our inward interests and to discern where the deep needs of the world are so that we might do our own part to meet them, that all people might live in dignity. At times, this spirit of hospitality might take body and take shape like welcoming a stranger into the pulpit for the majority of a sabbatical summer, and unknowingly reminding them that they do indeed possess gifts and talents for ministry. But more often than not, this spirit of hospitality will look like going further, beyond acts of simple charity, even beyond the walls of this church building, beyond the scope of Chicago and the world at large, into the lives of all the people that society has hidden away and tried to forget. And so as we prepare to go forward from this time of sabbatical summer, to re-enter into the familiarity of a programmatic church year, and into a world that is constantly evolving, often in chaotic and unpredictable ways, I pray that the Spirit might live in all of us, to lead us in the same way of radical hospitality that Christ lived and taught. On every level of our lives, may we seek to love those who are forgotten, to include those who are pushed away, to feed those who are hungry and liberate those who are imprisoned. And may our actions in this life be so consistently attuned to the love of Christ that the world is restructured in the process of our showing up and loving one another. May the way that we treat each other be such a force of change and goodness that this world is shifted into a new reality where we might all flourish in love alongside one another. May it be so in the name of the one who creates, redeems, and sustains us all. Amen.